And thank you as well, worship team, for, again, you're blessing us and leading us into God's presence. I just appreciate that. Thank you. Well, I hope you really did enjoy that snow a little this morning. I mean, just, you know, a little bit of freshness and a little bit of change of pace and all of that that snow brings and winter brings. And yes, next Sunday morning is the first Sunday of Advent. I know it's still November, but it's the Advent already, and that's great. Looking forward to that. Today we're going to continue in our series from Ephesians, and a little more of a devotional time, because as you probably remember from last week and in the announcements that came out, we're going to be concluding the morning with a members' meeting, just wrapping up some more legal issues that need to be cared for, decisions that need to be cared for in terms of our incorporation process, and trying to finalize some of those things that we began almost a year ago, I guess, at the AGM in February or March, or whenever that was. And again, the goal is that you as members to have us here. So the kids are going to be out in Kids Corner. We'll finish with the last 5-10 minutes or so with the members' meeting. So we'll talk a little more about that later. Living as children of light. That's what I've entitled this next section, with a section there from Ephesians 4 and 5. And if you've read that this week, Paul does an amazing section there. He just kind of, just sort of this, it's probably a quarter of the book, 20% of this letter that he wrote is in this package of what it means to live as children of light. But I'm going to start us back in John 8. Jesus is interacting with the Pharisees, and you know, the Pharisees gave him a hard time at times. I mean, there was a little bit of angst, a little bit of conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, the religious leaders. But at this point in John 8, he's proclaiming, he's in the temple, and he's saying, I am the light of the world. His proclamation, I am the light of the world. And then he continues that with a promise, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light. An incredible statement, and I'm sure most people standing there going, Jesus, I don't have a clue what you're just talking about. Paul, on the other hand, would say, right on, Jesus, amen. And this part of the letter to the Ephesus church would be this amen to Jesus saying, I am in the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not live in darkness, but will have the light. What's the significance of light? As I said, next Sunday morning, we're going to invite the first of four Advent candles. The candle of hope, very appropriate way to start off the Advent. Light, though, is such a powerful symbol. As James, either as he talked or as he prayed, they're talking about, again, you know, we put up Christmas lights, we put candles out. You know, Christmas is about lights. Creation story. Go back to Genesis. Scripture says that God created the heavens and the earth. But in that first statement, it says, but it was formless and void and black. And then it says, and God created light. And he says, and the light was good. And I was like, yeah, I would agree. And light was good. Darkness, black. How do you define those words? I mean, how do you define black? Some people say, well, black's a color. Well, actually, it isn't. Black is simply the absence of color. Black, darkness, definable in a sense only by saying it's the absence of light. And again, that's so appropriate for Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. The contrast. The absence of color. The need for Jesus in our world. The need for light, for true light. Eliminating spiritual darkness, all of those themes, and we could go many directions on that. But if we go back in terms of even from the beginning, think of after the flood, what did Jesus or God do? Put a rainbow in the sky, light. The Egyptians pursuing the Israelites out of Egypt, and as they crossed the Red Sea, a pillar of fire led them, again, light. Paul on the road to Damascus, he knew about light. He'd never seen anything quite so bright as he was struck down and blinded by that light. Again, light began to symbolize to the Jewish nation and to us through Scripture, light representing God's presence, God's work, God's presence and peace in our lives. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the hope of the world. It's, again, his presence in us. So what does it mean for you and I to be a child of light? Because that's really where Paul is going here. And if we look at, and I think we've got this one on the screen. Yes, I do. Good. Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 12. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. That's a neat statement. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And then he goes on. Some pretty intense words there, I think, from Paul. As I read that again, it's like, wow, Paul. And again, I know it's a translation, but again, whether that is was the intensity of the words there as Paul meant it or not, but he says, he doesn't say you were living in darkness, but he says you were darkness before you got to know Jesus. I mean, you were literally darkness. Ah, but now you are light. Yes, we live in the light because of Jesus, but you are light. It's not just you lived in darkness, but you actually were. I was darkness, and now I am light. In fact, in Ephesians 4, if we flip back into the beginning of that chapter, he talks about before we knew Christ, we were living in futility. The other word, we lost our sensitivity. We had nothing to offer. We indulged in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more, lusting for more, lusting for pleasure. Sounds so much like our world, doesn't it? It's just that aspect of saying, that was futile. That was darkness. There was nothing. But now he says, yeah, you're not just living in light, but you are. But you are light. You are light in the Lord. Yes, that's right. It's not just in me. It's because of God, because of Jesus Christ's presence in us. And obviously there's been a transformation here. You move from darkness to light. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former self, your former way of life, to put off your old self. And Paul, by the way, uses this analogy multiple times in his letters about taking off old clothes, the old self, putting it away, putting on new clothes. And he does it here again. He says, putting off the old self, which is corrupt, is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Taking off the old, putting on the new. I love that image. And I wish I could do this here, but it doesn't work real well trying to do it myself. But I would love to be able to come in here with the oldest, grubbiest, ugliest looking clothes that I could find. I love that picture on the left. Left, yes. I know we don't have the picture of the whole person. But I love that. You look at those shoes and you go, there's a working man. You know, he's been drywalling or he's been painting and he's dumped and messed a whole lot. And we think of that old man, that, and I don't mean old in age, but that the old person that we were, the dirty shoes, should have a hole or two in those shoes as well. You know, maybe a cap, baseball cap, well stained and grubby. T-shirt, yellow under the armpits, you know, just sweat on, just looking ugly. The pants are ripped, there's a few holes, you know, knees. That's the old man. That's the darkness. That's who we were. And Paul says, put off that old self. Get rid of those old clothes. Put those away. Burn them. Because I've got some new clothes for you to put on. Oh, we got to go back to the new clothes yet for a moment. Sharp looking character, eh? The new sweater, the slacks, I don't know what kind of shoes are going, you know, the leather shoes, you know. But the new man is God's righteousness, God's holiness in you, covering you, new clothes. There's been a transformation here. But then he also says in this verse, you have been made new in the attitude of your mind. Yeah, the mind and my heart. They need to change. I need to put on that new self, covered, as I said, in his righteousness, in his holiness. I was darkness, now light. And again, this is not something you and I do on our own, folks. Yes, we're very much a part of the process of putting off the old, of putting on the new, because we need to be willing. But it's God who does the recreating. Notice he says, we put on the new self created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Again, that key word, created. We think back and we've got lots of little babies in the congregation here, but you think of each one of us, at one point, born, created in our mother's womb, born as sinners into a world, into darkness. And God says, I want to recreate. I want to create a new person, a new individual, a righteous, holy individual that will become light, getting rid of the old actions, the old attitudes, the old whatever. And God says, you just need to be willing. Just allow me to work in you. I need your help. I need you to be willing. I need you to be willing to change those attitudes, to change your heart, to allow me to work. But he said, just let me do that. Invite me in, Jesus says. I'll put my Holy Spirit in you, and we will create a new woman. We will create a new man. We'll get you some new clothes so that you can be a child of light. So what does it look like? What does it look like then to live it as a child of life? And again, if you read that, and if you haven't read that part of Ephesians 4 and 5, you got to do it this week. Because he comes up with his host, and I'm going to go to the screen here. In fact, if we look at those verses, and there's about a chapter and a half there, there's probably 30 to 40 contrasting things of saying, do, don't, do this, don't do this. This transformation process that he says, this is what it's going to look like to live as a child of light. Put off lying. If you've been lying, done with it. Get rid of it. No more. Speak truth. In your anger, don't sin. Yeah, you're going to become angry, but don't sin in that process. Work. He says, well, he actually starts and he says, if you've been stealing, maybe just whatever, not necessarily stealing even items, but stealing of time, stealing of whatever. Stop. Done. Work. Work and make it useful. Work with your hands. Get rid of bitterness, words that are bitter, are rage, words that are slanderous, words that rip. Get rid of them. He speaks this sentence. He says, by the way, words only should come out of your mouth that are useful to build others up. And you read that and go, oh, man, in the last week, the words that only did only words come out of my mouth that built people up? Words of praise and thanks to God. Get rid of bitterness. No obscenity, foolish talk. And I always chuckle when I read that. It's like, Paul, what did you mean in those days by foolish talk? I don't know what you meant by that. But look, so many of these come down to what are the words that come out of our mouths, which, again, is much... It's an issue of our heart, but it's also an issue of what do I choose to say or do? Be kind, compassionate, no hint of sexual impurity, forgive, love. He goes on. There's probably a 40, depends how you break them down, of do's and don'ts of what it means to live as a child of light. Be kind, be compassionate. Paul says, yeah, it's time for some new clothes. All those attitudes, all those perspectives that show through me by my actions, my attitudes, my thoughts, my expressions at times. Some people can read faces, and you may not say words, but the look in your face says, we can say a lot with our face. You are the light of the world, and light makes a difference. Light eliminates darkness, and I appreciate this story. The story is told that as a boy, Robert Louis Stevenson, poet, author, was intrigued by the work of the old lamplighter who went about with a ladder and a torch setting the streetlights ablaze each night. One evening in Edinburgh, Scotland, as young Robert stood watching with childish fascination, his parents heard him explain, "Look, look, there is a man out there punching holes in the darkness." And that's a powerful phrase, and I love that phrase. There is a man out there punching holes in the darkness. And I questioned, and I began to say to myself, folks, what does it mean for you and me to punch holes in the darkness around us? Maybe the darkness of your community, your family, maybe your own house, in your own home. How do I punch holes in the darkness that sometimes invades? Can you be a light on your hockey team, your volleyball team, at the Y spin class, at the office, Can you be a light that punches holes in the darkness? As you're sitting around that office table and the language at the lunchtime gets a little graphic, can you interrupt? Can you confront? Can you be a light that changes that conversation? Maybe at your dinner table, Christmas dinner, and uncles and aunts and everybody's there, and all of a sudden conversation feels like it's getting just a little sharp and a little pointed. Can you punch a hole in that darkness and bring a word of encouragement, a word of affirmation? Can you change the direction of the conversation? Be that light of hope for a friend who has just heard the word cancer. I'll be there with you. I'll walk with you. I'll go with you to that appointment. I'll be there. Don't worry, I'll be there with you. Can you be that light of compassion for that young couple who has just lost a baby to death by SIDS? When greed, when interest, self-interest seems to be the only priority for that office community impact team, can you interject and can you get in there and say, time to change? It's time to look differently. It's time to focus in a different way, to do something. And don't back down. God calls us to protect the weak, to stand up for the innocent, to lift up the one who's been beaten down, to be that source of light and hope. And folks, it's not going to happen by hiding in a corner. It's not going to be happening by just saying, well, I'll let my little light shine and I won't say or ever do anything. Yes, we need to let our light shine. Scripture says again in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, Jesus said. Who lights a lamp? He asked this question. Who lights a lamp and then puts a bowl over top of it and hides it? I mean, that just wouldn't make any sense. Because when we light a light, we put it on the table, we put it on a stand, and that meant a whole lot more to people who are reading it back in biblical times than to us. We don't light lamps. We flip the switch. How about that? And the light's on, it's there. But again, in a room, hydro's out, it doesn't take long to say, wow, one little candle in a room makes a difference. Where is God calling you, and how is he calling you to punch holes in the darkness around you? And again, I don't want to see any black eyes next week. You know, we're not talking those kind of punches. But what is it talking? What is God saying to you to have words and actions that interrupt, that bring change, that bring a dramatic explosion of hope and light into a situation? Eliminating the darkness of sin, that attitude of evil, the despair of evil, the hopelessness in our world. Again, listening to some of the summit on Friday into Saturday on the impact of opioids in our world and the number of deaths across Canada and the emergencies that are being enacted, suicides because of overdose of opioids. How does it mean? What does it mean? What does it look like for you and me to punch holes in the darkness of despair? Four principles as we finish. Principles of living as children of light. Number one, you got to grow. Invite Christ to change you. Be ready to learn. Back in chapter 1, he says, surely you heard of him and were taught in him. We need to be taught. We need to learn. I don't care if you're 60 or 20 or 15. We need to grow. And I pray and hope that when I'm 95, if I'm still kicking on this earth, I'm still learning and growing. I need to be taught. Number two, be Ephesians. Be imitators. Ephesians 5:20 or verse 1 says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Do you remember, parents, ever watching your child walk or do something and you realize, or say something and you're realizing they're imitating you? They're saying something just like you would. Sometimes that's a little scary. Imitate God. Be wise. Ephesians 5, Paul says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Are you wise? do I make the most of every opportunity I have to punch a hole of light, to punch a hole of light in that darkness that surrounds? That's my encouragement to you this week. No cheese, no apples, no Pop Rocks today. My encouragement is to say, as you go through this week, look for those opportunities where God's going to say, Claire, I need you to punch a hole in the darkness right here. I need you to interrupt this. I need you to cause an explosion of light to impact and change what's going on in this situation. It takes courage, but I bless you, and I pray that you will make a difference. Last one, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. His wisdom, His grace, His Holy Spirit's power in you is going to make that difference to be a child of light that will make a difference in our world. Live this week. Live out each day as a child of light, because that's who you are. You're not just living in the light. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the hope. You are the hope because of Jesus in you and me. Let's pray. Lord, we need to grow. We know that. And I pray, God, that you would continue to teach us. Lord, teach us how to be light. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. And Lord, my prayer for each person, each one of us, that through this week, we would see those opportunities that you have called us to make a difference, to impact the world, punching holes of light into the darkness of evil. We thank you, Father. Worship team is going to come and lead us through one more song, but just again, reminder, as we conclude the song, we are going to move into a members' meeting. We invite all of you to stay. Even if you're not a member, it's part of the business and growing of the church, but we'd love to have you here. Kids will continue to be in Kids Corner, so don't worry that they're running out there and creating havoc in the parking lot. They all will be fine. They'll be all good. Worship team, come and lead us in the last song.
Save your, he can move the mountain.
you to be seated. And Matt, I'm going to welcome you to the front.
Hello. All right, so I just want to, I guess, deal with some of the business side of things just for with the church. So jumping